Well, we had some thunderstorms in Lake Wobegon here this last week. It was a... We say it was a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, but it was kind of wild and kind of violent. There were big storms and high winds coming through, mostly at night, so people were awakened by it. They had dreams about that they were in some battle, the Battle of Gettysburg, Chancellorsville was going on all around them, and volleys of cannons going, lightning ripping the sky apart, and thunder. We love these summer storms because, as I said, some people get nervous during them, and that gives those of us who are not bright enough to get nervous a chance to be strong, you know, and say, it's all right, daddy's here, honey, so don't worry about anything. Even those of us who are not particularly capable, not emergency type of people, if I tried to give artificial respiration to somebody, it would probably kill them, probably suffocate them on the spot. So here in the midst of a storm is really my only opportunity to appear to be brave. You people had a chance to go down to the basement, you know that, and but you chose to stay up here with the rest of us, because the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Phobophobia, it's called. And so here we are. The Lake Wobegon Whippets played the Holdingford Bulls in the rain on Sunday. The home team gets to decide if the game should be called or not. And Whiplash Wilson, our steady right-hander, was feeling good, so they played the game. Whiplash is a great sidearm pitcher, and his only weakness is that he has this terrible phobia of cats. And so the Holdingford Bulls had brought a sack full of cats, but the cats would not run out on the field in the rain, and so the Whippets won. They won on a long fly ball by Wayne Warning Track Tomerdahl, which got wedged between the boards on the outfield fence, and the Bull outfielders had to hurl themselves at the fence 3, 4, 5 times to dislodge it, and meanwhile 3 runs came in. They protested interference, but the umpire thought they were saying disappearance, that it had disappeared, and he pointed to the ball. He could see it, and he was waving his left arm in a circular manner to call for it to be in play. And when he found out he was wrong, he still stuck to the call, as umpires do. And so the Bulls lost, and they took their cats home with them. There was a lot of bad language used on the field, for which the Bulls have been fined $125. And that money will be donated to the Sunday School Fund to pay for new flannel graphs to teach stories from the Bible. Father Emil came to town this last week. We haven't seen him for about 23 years. Our old priest at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, he was living down in Virginia in a retirement home, and he's been working for 15 years on a book about the Battle of Fredericksburg in 1862, in which the inept Union General Ambrose Burnside lost, despite having superior forces, lost to Robert E. Lee. And then the next year, 1863, the rather hesitant General Hooker lost another battle to Robert E. Lee there nearby in Chancellorsville. Father Emil has been accumulating his research, 17 boxes of diaries and journals and letters, and also so much information that he's been unable to even start to write the book. He just can't even get the first chapter underway. This is the problem of knowing too much. You become confused, and you don't have a clear vision of what you're talking about anymore. So he is destroying his notes, and that's why he came to town, to burn them, to throw them into the dump. And he is joining a penitential order, the Order of St. James, called the Jimmies. These are religious men who lead lives of poverty and prayer, and who are allowed to follow sports teams, but only losing ones. And there is a major chapter house in Minneapolis, and there's another one on the north side of Chicago. And so that's that. We had the beautiful rains in Lake Wobegon this last week, as I mentioned. Lots of garage sales, even in the rain. A lot of people setting out boxes of things that they bought years ago. You know, in a spirit of hope, and then that did not turn out. Books that they intended to read and didn't. Books that would have made them better people, and inspirational CDs like cooperation is what makes a family wonderful, and together is an uphill road that nobody ever listened to. The shrink wrap is still on them, and candles and statuary and objects of bread making machines. Do you remember those? Boy, those were, that was a real trend there for a while. And a pair of high red stiletto heels that somebody hoped would make them mysterious and sexy, and it just made them unbalanced. And now you can buy somebody else's hopes for just a couple of bucks. Summertime in a small town, the windows are open, and so you can hear people's voices, and you can hear occasional shouting, maybe not shouting exactly, but people raising their voices and speaking in a loud, clear voice and pronouncing their words very clearly, and it's the sound of parents putting their foot down and telling their children, including those who have just graduated from high school or college and who have now been at home for a week, telling them that even though they do represent the hope of our country, and though we encourage them to go out and make the world a better place, this does not include taking over the bathroom. There is only one bathroom, and they're not to be staying up until all hours, and free use of the family car is out of the question. Lines have to be drawn. There is no limit to what you may achieve in life, but there is a limit when there's only one bathroom in the house, and this is the role of parents, is to make these things perfectly clear. I hope you all understand me there. They were discussing this at the Women's Bible Study Circle on Wednesday at the Lutheran Church, and women saying they were sick and tired of being the enforcers and the disciplinarians, and they would like to be a little freer themselves. And one thing led to another. I mean, it's summer, after all, and people are a little loony, and they got in a car, and they drove out to the Tollefson's family cabin, which is way over on the other side of the lake. It's sort of protected by an inlet, and they got out, and they stood on the shore, and first one and then the other members of the Women's Bible Study Circle stripped naked could be. First the senior member of the group, and then she looked at the rest of them and said, "Y'all with me?" And so they were. She took off her t-shirt with the pictures of her grandchildren on it, and she took off her enormous brassiere and her big grandma undies, and she ran into the water and splashed around, and they all followed her in there. And they sang. They were so delighted at their own bravery. They sang "Tell Me Why," and they sang "True Love" and "Dream a Little Dream of Me," and they sang all the love songs. They were a little bit leery of a drop-off, and so they didn't go in all the way. They went in just above their waists, but they were floating on the water, and they were singing in kind of a sheltered inlet, so they felt safe. They felt so joyful, so jubilant. Lutheran women going naked in daylight. It's like the transfiguration. And then one of them let out a yelp and pointed, and there was this green canoe that was just coming around towards them under a tree that was leaning into the water. This young man paddling a canoe, wearing a Boy Scout shirt and insignia. And he hadn't seen them, he had heard them, and now suddenly he did see them, and they were right there. And he tried to back up, and he couldn't do it fast enough. They grabbed hold of the canoe, and they held on to it, and he whimpered. He covered his eyes. And they said, "We won't hurt you." He was 15, 16 years old, and he'd never seen six large, mature, naked women before in his life. He'd only seen the ones in magazines. They loved that he was so uneasy. They They sang to him as mothers. They sang, "Children of the Heavenly Mother, safely in her bosom gather. Nesting bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given." And then they turned him around. He had his eyes pinched shut, and they gave him a big push, and the canoe went scooting away, and he was paddling hard, and they sang, "God be with you till we meet again. In her arms securely fold you, in her bosom safely hold you. God be with you till we meet again." And then they all dressed, and they went back in the cabin, and they shared a bottle of wine. Something beautiful and mysterious had happened. They had burst through this lifelong prohibition, and they'd looked at each other without shame. And maybe they would never do this again, ever, but they had done it. And the senior member of the Women's Bible Study Circle said a prayer and thanked the Lord for this experience, and may this remain a closely held secret, Lord, and prayed for the young scout that this might be a source of enlightenment to him and not a burden. Amen. And then they all drove back into town. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.